we're pulling in to the security checkpoint. They're going to go through our car, as we all do. And the guy said, you know, pull over to this one because that's where they're checking for guns. And
you thought he said checking for guns as if, like, to make sure there are none. That's where my mind would
so
go.
So we're like, what? Somebody's got a gun? You know, we're freaking out.
Yeah.
And he's like, no, guns are allowed. You just have to register your gun. So
check him at the gate, bro.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the What Podcast. In the rare exception, we don't have Russ today. I can't remember the last time we haven't had Lord Taco.
It's like a conspiracy here almost.
I know. What's
trying
up?
Trying to figure out what's going on here.
What's up? But I'm Barry. That's Brian. I'm excited. We're going to do this. I jumped into the Mr. Peabody Wayback Machine, Brian. You'll appreciate this, I think.
Sure.
It was almost like 2018 or 2019. I got a call yesterday from you'll know who in a panic because he had a problem at his house. And guess who had to fix it? Guess who had to deal with it?
Well, I'm guessing you is the answer.
Uh-huh.
Who had a problem? Now I'm thinking about the text.
There it is.
And it'd be our old buddy Brad.
There it is. Who else?
And then in the text threads that we have that we talk throughout the week, and there's just sometimes it gets lost in the weeds, and I wasn't sure what anybody was talking about, so I just moved along. And I'm like, Brad, you know, he's a New York founder with you, along with you, Barry, of the show and Lord Taco. And I was like, what the hell is he talking about? Oh, that's right. His house is still here in Chattanooga.
Yeah.
So that must be what you're talking about.
And guess who has to fix it?
You do.
Guess whose hair's on fire?
Dad, Barry, yeah,
Zachary.
So he's got someone living in that house, right?
His sister-in-law, who's
that's
awesome.
Right. That's right, Erica.
Hillary's sister, Erica's moved in. And and I bring it up because it's so funny because it's been part of this show. Brad is the co-founder of this show, and, you know, things are not important until they're important to Brad. And
exactly.
That's what happened.
Exactly.
His sister has moved in, and all of a sudden the washing machine doesn't work. And so guess who has to fix it?
How do you get a call about the washing machine? I know you've got some fixer-upper skills, but...
Yeah, I love this stuff. I love this stuff. And I used to do it. And that's why it's so funny, because like 5-6 years ago, I would be the guy. And
picture still got to live that Brad sent us all out where you were at this front door with like galoshes and like a bucket and like, you know, the rubber gloves and like it was some kind of like ready for reporting for duty or something like that.
And I told Erica the last time I remember coming over, probably 2019, Brad. It's so stupid. He texted me and said, hey, not only are you coming over to fix my toilet or whatever, can you pick up toilet paper? And I was like, no.
I'll give you a beer. I got a beer for you here. It's a double West Coast sour IPA, but I got a beer for you.
I think I stopped at one point at Bojangles and got whatever, you know.
He doesn't eat food from Bojangles, or at least he says he doesn't.
He likes the potato boats or whatever. But the toilet paper was it. Anyway, I thought you'd get a kick out of that. So I've been on the phone with Brad, our buddy, the last couple of days, and I've been over at the house and it's a disaster and I can't fix it. But I thought you'd get a kick out of that.
Yeah, we're kind of in the world of Brad, buy a new washing machine. Sounds like that's what you need to do.
That's exactly what I told him. All right, so that's not why we're on here. We're on here to talk about some news. As we said, Russ is not here.
Apparently he told us he was going out of town, and neither of us know anything about
that. We don't remember.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I hope you got to hear last week's episode with Matt from Huntsville. That was amazing.
It was fun.
Yeah, so there's a lot of news. We got some other news you're going to share with us. Hangout has some news. Didn't see that coming.
No. I mean, effectively, you know, spoiler alert to when we get to it, Hangover's done.
Yeah.
But we'll talk about that a little bit. Halloween coming up. I mean, pretend like we know much about that for a few minutes. The lineup looks really good, actually, for that. That's coming up this weekend as well. So we can take a look at that. And then I guess want to start here with the five-year anniversary of the one-off in Manchester. Do we want to start there?
Yeah, let's start there. I actually shared some information with you that surprised you.
It surprised the hell out of me. I guess let's start, before we get to that, just in case anybody doesn't quite remember, it was only 5 years ago, but the exit 111, which is the exit number that was designed specifically for Bonnaroo, exit 110, 111, and then 109, I guess, are the three that will get you to Bonnaroo or to the farm. And I never really knew the people behind exit 111. Did you know the
Yeah, it was the same people. It was
Was it all the same people?
Yeah. Huh. Yeah, so okay. So let's bring everybody up to speed. So this is a show about Bonnaroo. We love Bonnaroo, right? You have been to every single one since 2002. I've been to all but four. People have always said, why are there not more events on the farm? And it's what's it called? I can't even remember.
Great Stage Park.
Great Stage Park is the actual name of that park. And so the idea has always been to have more than one event, more than Bonnaroo.
I didn't always or almost usually didn't subscribe to that theory that there should be more there. I usually was, but because it had more of a sacredness to me. I'm changed since then, but for the longest time, I was like, more events than Bonnaroo? That's against the law.
Yeah. right.
You can't do that.
So it started as Ichiku.
Yeah,
The original one was Ichiku, and that's how Ashley Capps knew about the farm because he had booked an event on this space. And when the guys from New Orleans, Superfly, said, "Hey, we've got an idea for an event," and Ashley said, "I've got a farm." That's how it ended up in Manchester. I mean, it's pretty much that simple. But so they've always talked about doing other events throughout the year. And the only time I can remember, Brian, correct me if I'm wrong, that they ever actually did it was Exit 111, which was basically a heavy metal, right, event in the fall.
Yeah, it was October, middle of October 2019. Right. So just over 5 years ago. And 5 months later, we all know how our lives went from there. So that was a very transformative time frame of everybody's life.
Right. I went up there.
The headliners, Lynyrd Skynyrd, Def Leppard, Guns N' Roses. Guns N' Roses is the one that grabbed my attention the most at that time. But it's a really, really good lineup.
Yeah.
If this is the kind of stuff you're looking for, which much of it, I sort of am and can be, and it's on the property and all that. So, it was I was excited for it. Ticket sales, if I remember right, didn't wow anybody.
No.
20,000, 30,000 maybe?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it was that high.
Yeah, maybe only 20, 15, 20.
They only used, if you remember, they only used a small portion of the farm.
I was actually, again, if we go there, I was looking at the map the other day trying to figure out exactly how they carved out Centaroo from only my memory when I was there looking around. And it was about maybe a third of Centaroo that they used. Could have been half, but it wasn't much.
So if I can I jump ahead to the part that
let's
I
do
blew
it.
Your mind?
Sure, let's do it.
So I wanted to go, and I wanted to see it, and I drove up with my friend Dave, Holscher, who runs the Tivoli and Memorial Auditorium here. He's connected with the AC Entertainment, and we wanted to go see it. So we drove up, and we pulled in, and I've never done the exit 111, literally, because you and I have always
the entrance exit. Yeah, yeah.
Right. So we came in, and everything was fine, and we were pulling in to the security checkpoint. They're going to go through our car, as we all do. And the guy said, you know, pull over to this one because that's where they're checking for guns. And
you thought he said checking for guns as if, like, to make sure there are none. That's where my mind would go.
So we're like, what? Somebody's got a gun? You know, we're freaking out.
Yeah.
And he's like, no, guns are allowed. You just have to register your gun. So
check him at the gate, bro.
That was it. And that's the thing that blew your mind, because you were talking about what was the festival we just saw where a guy tried to get a gun in, and was it Dallas?
One
of
the rallies.
Like loaded with guns and everything, and he's like, no, I'm not here to kill him.
I'm
here
to
carry my gun.
Celebrate him, yeah. Yeah, if you had just told me, we already talked about this the other day, if you had just told me that now, my surprise look would be more authentic with the fact that guns were allowed on that property.
They were not only allowed, they were anticipated, and all you had to do was register it. Yeah, so isn't that weird?
It's yeah, 100% it is. And the fact that I'm surprised I didn't know that. I was working, in the radio business still at that time, so I would have been regularly looking at things like this at that time, like pretty much every single day as far as festivals and lineups and brand new news all the time. And it feels like to me that if that was so well known, that it would have been almost advertised somewhere. And or at least at the bottom, fine print.
Yeah.
I never saw that.
No, it was not a big deal. I mean, it literally was not a big deal. You just had to get in this line, register your gun, and you could carry it on your hip or whatever. And that was what it was expected. The reason we're talking about this, Brian is way more anti-gun than I am. I don't have a problem with it. I don't have guns. But only because I don't. It's not a big thing for me. I know from your show on the Stone on Air podcast, they kind of freak you out.
Yeah, and just if I can take a second on that, just so people understand, and I don't want this to get into the weeds on anything. We always try to never do that. Forget about your ideological thoughts. Let's forget about, 3 weeks from now. Let's forget it. I know it's hard to, but try to. When it comes to weapons, I'm just scared of them. I don't like them. They make me uncomfortable. I don't like to be around them in any capacity outside of a law enforcement officer. And if I happen to be near, like, armed forces or something like that, my trust is there. Outside of that, I don't have any trust for weapons. They concern me almost like snakes. If you told me, hey, look over there, there's a whole, the cars are coming in, everybody's
going
got snakes in them, and they're checking their snakes. Like, yeah, guys, I'm out. I'm not going to hang around where all the snakes are. And if I knew that they had, check your guns over there, I'd be like, I'm checking myself out back down the road. I don't need to see Def Leppard that bad. That blew my mind when you told me that the other day, because we had never talked about that. I didn't know that you went up. Me and Taco, that's why I'm a little disappointed you didn't hear today. Me and him went up by ourselves, and I had just got to know him over that time. We all had it at 2018, 19 or so. He'd just kind of come into the Camp Nut Butter orbit. And so it was kind of one of those almost Seinfeld moments of like, well, we're taking you out of your big group of people and just now you two, and we had fun. We hung out in the bus, drank all day. It's why I don't remember the day that well. So I would like to hear a lot of his thoughts on that too, but either way, there was the reason we were talking about for the for this segment specifically, and you were giving me that tidbit, because my response was, I don't have a lot to tell about the day. I mean, I got drunk. I had fun. I enjoyed it. And I went home. I mean, that segment over, next. But then I hear that and I was like, I've never heard of a festival in America since Altamont or where, you know, wherever the Hell's Angels. Right. I haven't heard of being, you know, strapped on the hip. I'm thinking, you know, Biff Tannen days and Back to the Future 3, you know, going to the Jubilee.
That's why I'm even bringing it up, is not
just not for commentary. Not for commentary. Yeah, just that's what it was.
Not anti, pro, whatever. They knew. They anticipated it. They prepared for it. It was like, okay, bring your gun. You're just going to have to register it. And well, that was the thing. And that's when Dave and I pulled up, and they were like, oh, go in this line. It'll go quicker because that's the gun line. You know, he and I are thinking we're going to have to get out on the ground.
Everybody down.
Everybody down. And it's like, no, that's the line where.
Well, and for anybody who wants to say that having weapons around is good and helpful, because that's a narrative. This example could be shown as a time when it worked. There were no problems.
Not a dang thing happened.
Not a single whisper, murmur, not a nothing. No,
exactly. Exactly. So it was all fine. It was.
Is that because there was guns there, or because we just, you know, coincidentally nothing happened? I don't know.
Or it was cold.
That's a great. I'm glad you said that, because I might have forgotten. That was the biggest, like, news or, like, what I remember most from the weekend was that we got a snap of cold around here in the South that we're not used to. I mean, October is still a pretty warm month around here.
Right. And it's 80. It's October now, and it's, like, 77.
Yeah. I mean, it was 59 last week, and it'll be 80 this week. And so, you know, but so getting cold isn't surprising, but it just... It hit like a ton of bricks that weekend, and it was an overcast weekend, and I was 39 years old at that time. I might as well have been 29 still. I just, let's go on up there. Don't bring anything but a cooler full of booze and maybe a pillow and a light blanket, and I'm sleeping in the back of my car that night, just as miserable like as you could be. Like, I'm might as well have been in the Arctic. Right. It was so cold. I remember me and Taco went and saw Blackberry Smoke in its entirety, because I'm a big Blackberry Smoke fan. I'll see them in your backyard if you'll let me. And Cheap Trick was next. I know we stayed for Cheap Trick, because I remember Todd. That's why I wanted to ask Taco, because I think he wanted to stay and see them, so I hung out with him for that. Outside of that, I don't have a ton of memory except for Def Leppard from the back of the What Field until I was then freezing. So cold.
Right.
And if I wasn't so drunk, I would have just gone home. Stayed the night and then left the next day. Sorry to anybody who gets mad that we didn't stay till Sunday at exit 111. I apologize that we didn't fulfill the magic of exit 111. But it was, I enjoyed it very much. But I knew that there was no way they would be doing that one again.
Isn't that weird? First of all, I'm going to say, if you ever get the chance to see Def Leppard, go see Def Leppard.
They're good.
I think it's one of my favorite shows. And I was not a fan. They are the one that I had to go because of my job to review years and years ago. And I'm so glad I went. That's a great show.
I'm glad you said that, too, because before Pearl Jam and grunge took over my life at around 12 years old in 1992, the one 80s band, and Def Leppard was pretty late 80s, and a little less hair than the other hair, you know, like they weren't Poison. They were a little more buttoned up rock and roll. They were more English rock. They were less American glam and more English rock. I love Def Leppard.
I love them.
Barry, I know every song. I know Hysteria, Pyromania, Adrenalize, awesome. High and Dry. I know every single record they've ever put out. I know all their music. I love, love, love them. And then I heard Pearl Jam one day and never listened to Def Leppard again. But I've seen them three times since in my adult years. And every time I'm like, boy, this brings me back to being a child and rocking out to Pour Some Sugar on Me.
I love him. And Joe, what's his name?
Elliot.
Joe Elliot was on a podcast with Dana Carvey and David Spade. He's terrific.
He's been making the rounds, and he is a great interview.
It's so good. I can't say enough about Def Leppard.
His accent is on point. His jokes and humor is on point.
Love it.
He's really good. And so that was why that made me part of why I was very excited about the Saturday was the day we did, and then I didn't stay for Guns N' Roses because I was so hungover and cold.
But isn't the next day. But isn't that weird? They've only done the one event on the farm.
If just to make sure, because we'll be fact checked, also that
I don't know of any others.
Well, you'll remember barely maybe the transition of the COVID years when they had like the Ava Brothers up there. Remember that?
Right.
And they had it all potted.
Take it back. You're right.
But that barely counts. That was like, we got to do, that was what everybody was doing in America.
And it did well. It did. I think they got 8,000-9,000 people. I forgot about that one. That's a good pool.
I think that at any point, if you're doing anything that's bringing in a dollar, back then you were doing well.
Right.
But that was a huge exception to the 20-year conversation of what else can we do with this property. And
I'm glad you remember that because it brings up the thing that we've said all along, is it's not just a simple matter of flipping the lights on.
Yeah, and just
here
you go.
People, you got to bring staging, you got to bring power, you got to do this and that. Yeah.
Yeah, it's not a plug and play. No. It's a plug a lot of stuff up and play. yeah. The infrastructure is there, but if real quick to give an idea to how Centaroo was for Bonnaroovians for exit 111. If you imagine, so I'm talking to the guys gal who's been there for longer than like 1 year. If you're staring at the witch stage and you're kind of far back center and you're standing facing it, so to your right there's a road that just runs all the way straight from the back to the back, from backstage production all the way to the back of Centaroo. Take that and move it over, we'll just say 100, 200, 300 feet. And then that cuts where the fountain is. So basically on the other side of the fountain, that wall would run all the way down through there. Right. So everything to the what stage side, so that would be if you're staring at the stage of the left side, that was all Centaroo. Still a decent enough space, but you can imagine how much they didn't use. I remember looking over the wall and being like, oh, hey, there's a fountain.
Yeah.
Hey, look, there's that. And they did not put up a witch stage for exit 111. They use what, and then what would be the other and that.
Yeah.
And
the fountain is a good, it was not used.
No, it wasn't turned on. It wasn't used. It
so
wasn't
that's
available.
That's a good point.
And so they were able to
kind
of. It was
on the other side of whatever fencing. So.
Yeah. So they, all that to say to your point of like, it isn't just a plug and play. Well, no, because who's going to be able to bring 80,000? Who's going to be able to use this the way that it's configured? Nobody. So you got to reconfigure it. There's a lot goes into that. You can imagine how much it costs to have a logistics expert and your ticket sales and come in. You don't just have one of your, interns go out there and decide where you're going to put up a fence. It's very, very expensive stuff. And then they booked a heavy, 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 and I don't mean music heavy, but I mean capital intensive headliner, and top to bottom, ZZ Top, Mastodon, Deftones, Lamb of God, Coheed and Cambria, Alter Bridge, Ministry, Seether, Slayer, and just keeps going.
It was great.
And they realized real quick, there ain't no money to be made here.
Exactly right. So. Exactly right. Everybody I know and loved it. Would go
yeah,
back.
Yeah. No bad words to be said. Everybody loved every set, except for everybody was cold. Everybody got thrown
everybody
off by that
got
a little
cold.
Bit.
It was that October cold where once you got cold, you can't get warm. That was
and
the problem.
It's because the same thing as of now. It was 80 the week before, so 40 feels like 40 below.
Right.
And so
And then
it really
you had
was.
To go crawl in your tent.
Yeah, it was. Well, I didn't even bring a tent. I just slept in the
or
back
your
seat
car
of my car
or whatever. But that's what terrible. I mean. Once you're cold, you're cold. So
yeah, it was.
Anyway, that was. It's hard to believe that was 5 years ago.
5 years. Snap your fingers. It's gone.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Again, Russ is not with us. He will be back next week. I've got a special guest lined up for us next week. We're going to talk about it, and we kicked it down the road. Russ went to Cave Fest. We're going to talk about that with him, but we're also going to have Todd Mayo, who is the Cavern. Todd founded the Cavern. He's going to be on with us next week. I typically don't like to give specifics because things can happen, but I feel pretty confident.
And if it doesn't, then for whatever reason, it will.
Yeah,
it will.
But come on, something happened, but that's our plan.
If a quick reset, we have these two caves. We have a lot of caves. I mean, Tennessee, for all the things I don't like about it, that have nothing to do with the landscape and aesthetics of it. We got caves and hills and water and lakes and rivers. We got everything you want here for outdoor activity. And we got a bunch of caves. Yep. And we had the one in the mid-state towards, I don't know, Cookeville? I don't even remember where the other one was. For years, that was the Caverns. And then they moved them in the last 10 or less years closer to us here in Pelham near Mont Eagle Mountain. So
right.
I'd be interested to see how all that came together, why one would be better than the other. The PBS special, Live in the Caverns, it ran for a long time. There's a lot there, so we can go a lot of different directions.
Yeah, and he's written a book. Which he was kind enough to just send to me. I just got it yesterday. So
cool. If I knew how to read, I'd try to read.
I need to see if it has more pictures. I'm very excited to talk about that, though, because it has become it. Again, it fits a lot, Brian, with the Huntsville thing. It's, you know, how do you take a space and create a thing? Right. I mean, that's what the Caverns is. It's not.
And then
just
keep it rolling. Yeah.
And keep it rolling. And not only do the musicians like it, but the fans like it. So because it becomes an unusual experience. And so.
And experiences are not the hot topic of young people that they were once upon a time, meaning maybe, I don't know, a decade ago or so. But they still are for most people. So, yeah, I loved it. You know, I loved the one time I've been there and looking forward to doing more events in different capacities there. So we'll talk about that plenty.
And we got some bad news, right? I don't know if it's bad news. It's just it seems to be what it is. Hangout.
Yeah, it's gone.
Gone.
Then they're doing the same thing they all do, Barry. We talked about it on other podcasts here in town locally when we lost two festivals and like, well, hopefully see you next year. It's like, right. Would you just say thank you, gotta go, see you later. And I get it. That's not how PR works. But Hangout did similar things with their responses, you know, through official statements that weren't saying we were quitting or done, but they are. You wouldn't do this if you weren't. It's now the Morgan Wallen experience.
Toes in the sand.
This guy is interesting. His ascension to superstardom is certainly worth looking at because it is impressive. I did wonder, where does this guy come from? He just did two nights of Neyland Stadium in Knoxville because, you know, all celebration of all things Vols right now. And the tickets were, I mean, not Taylor Swift level, but somewhere in a mid-tier world of that kind of thing, it was crazy. On a 100,000-seat stadium, they put a couple hundred thousand over two nights. And I'm like, who the hell is this guy?
Right.
And he was a one of those karaoke shows, The Voice. He was on he was a Voice contestant like 6 years ago. I don't know if that's the NBC. I don't know who does that show. But you've heard of The Voice, probably.
Yeah.
And so that answers that. Where does he come from? That's where he comes from. And so that's just going to be a country music friend, you know, Morgan Wallen and friends on the beach. And that'll really well, probably.
All I know is one of his friends is Peyton Manning, because I've seen the commercial or the YouTube video. And so, you know, if he's friends with Peyton, he must be somebody.
Yeah. Oh, it's crazy.
I see your smirk, but so am I.
No, I get it. So anyway, that's what it's going to be, and I won't have any more commentary on that. And I do believe it'll do well. I mean, the beach, Alabama, Gulf Shores, Morgan Wallen and friends. Of course.
Right.
Why wouldn't you make that move? If Hangout is bleeding red, which you got to believe they probably are, then why wouldn't you make that move? But I went backwards with Hangout for a minute, if you want to go that direction for a second.
Sure.
With a couple things I didn't know. Had you ever been tempted to do Hangout?
No, I have not, but I know when it was, again, going back to Brad, co-founder. He went and loved it because,
go ahead, sorry.
You're going to say the same thing I am.
Yes.
It was classic Brad because it was the best VIP experience ever.
Like a pool with like 10 people in it.
A pool, like, and you had your own
stage side.
Yeah,
stage
you side. Had your own thing on the beach. You could, it had nothing to do with the festival.
No.
He was treated well, as were the musicians.
And he didn't have a lot of plus ones on those.
No, I never went.
But the lineups were really
good
for a while.
But it gets to my thing, and the same with South Star. If I'm in the hotel, do I want to fight the crowd and go see the show and fight this and that versus, you know, the camping experience? That was always, Hangout was always my example. It sounded great if you had the VIP experience.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, so. for me, I'm not a big beach guy unless it's in another country, like Mexico or something. I far more appreciate the beach when I'm in, you know, South America or, you know, Central America than if I'm in Florida. So the beach in theory is fun, but the annoyances around it, and most people agree with this, especially if you got families and stuff, like everything it takes to get there and get back is so much
work.
We're
saying the same thing. We're saying exactly the same thing.
Yeah. And so, but once you make the fun happen, the fun is really good, but then everything else. So to me, that's not worth the payoff. So I don't usually do that. And then you put a concert and a festival somewhere. Well, they have their own sets of super annoyances, but then the payoff is what the payoff is. And for me, the payoff is, you know, great.
Yep.
So now you've taken two things, you put them together, you've taken all the annoyances of both of them, combined them into one. And I just couldn't get over the fact that I just don't think there's any way I can go through all those annoyances to get to those payoffs.
Yeah.
And so I never went, but it got so trendy. I was 31 years old when it started, and 32, 33 when it was really, like, it became the cool thing to do in the South for a little bit, for a few years. Like, this is, because it was different at that time.
Yeah.
It was, that's not a destination beach thing, like Panic in La Playa or My Morning Jacket in Cancun. You know, that's different. You're going to a thing that's curated especially for your own, you know, a little bit different. This is a big, real monster festival right there where you can also go to the beach all day long. And so that was a little bit of a different concept. And I'd always said from the year it happened in 2011, if I didn't go in 2011, I never would go. And here's the lineup, and I'm just from the ones that I know that I would be excited about, and it goes far beyond that. In 2011, Foo Fighters, when I was still very much into that band, not so much anymore. Forget anything about Dave this year. I've been kind of tired of the music. But in 11, they had a brand new album out. Huge, huge year. Foo Fighters, Paul Simon, still haven't seen, likely won't. Panic, Black Keys, Flaming Lips, My Morning Jacket, Primus. Motorhead, Warren Haynes Band, Drive-By Truckers, J.J. Gray, Mofro, Keller Williams, all the way at the bottom, Trombone Shorty, Portugal the Man, Badeski, Martin Wood, CeeLo Green, now on the stuff that I didn't care about as much, Uffers McGee, Slightly Stupid. It never stopped.
That's you.
It never stopped. I was like, yeah. I have to go to this, but you mean I have to go to the beach to do it? And I didn't go, and I said, well, I guess I never will.
That's your lineup. That's a good
one.
That's
my lineup right there. That's your lineup. And then another real quick, I don't want to spend too much time on it since neither of us have gone, but I did look at this. In 2015, they were bought out, or at least, you know, somehow conglomerated together with Golden Voice, which I had never heard of before. It's basically the West Coast version of what would be a national, you know, AC Superfly kind of umbrella combination. They took over, or at least entered into a joint venture with Hangout, and Golden Voice before that had done the same thing with Coachella. And if you look up Golden Voice now, it's kind of like the Ray Kroc thing with McDonald's. They call themselves the creators of Coachella. They didn't create Coachella, but they took Coachella and turned it into more of what it was.
Right.
And so they then came into business with Hangout, and that was good for them based on what I've read here. Leading up to 2020, this is not a lineup that rivals Bonnaroo's 2020 canceled lineup, but it's pretty good. And their ticket sales go on sale much earlier, and they ship in April. And the festival's in May. So just remember the clock in 2020. It's about March when everything starts to spin out of control.
Right.
It was the fastest sellout Hangouts ever had in 2020. I had never heard that. And so as soon as this festival's picking up and getting to where they want to go, we can now go back 5 years. What's happening now is just a painful, long death, maybe evolved to that. Another one of those. It wasn't quick, but you got to say that's got, because they didn't sell tickets to that level after that. And the lineup in 2020, Chili Peppers, Post Malone, Billie Eilish, Marshmello, Cage, Kane Brown, Head in the Heart, T-Pain, which seemingly plays everywhere. It's a great lineup, too. So,
yeah.
So long to another one that really I had a lot of respect for. A lot of respect for, even though I didn't really want to.
No, it was always great. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, same. Yes. That was always one of those, that and the Bourbon and Beyond, you know, always to me, yeah, I want to go because they always had great lineups.
Yeah.
Always. So.
So we'll see where this. Boots in the sand? Is that what they're called?
Toes in the sand.
Toes in the sand. They should. I think boots in the sand would be better. But anyway,
it'll do great.
It'll do fantastic. Yep. It'll do very, 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 very well.
And you know, I was just thinking when you were talking, is it just good for them for you know, adjusting, whatever you want to call it, figuring it out? They all have to.
I mean, I just guessed a few minutes ago that, you know, Hangouts in the red. I don't know that.
Yeah,
but if you're making a switch like that, then my guess is the books weren't lining up.
Right. All right. What else?
What else?
Other news did we have?
The only thing I have, you know, for this week is Halloween is this weekend. And we know some people. I'm forgetting exactly who, but it'll be down there on the photo team doing some stuff. And I was looking at some past Halloween pictures and galleries of mainly photo. That is a wild looking experience.
Yeah.
Because I mean the middle, not middle age, but like older millennials, older even now Gen Zers. I mean, dressing up is just costumes. That's not just the conventions. You know, comic book comic cons and those kinds of things.
Right.
It's not just for them anymore. It's for everybody. People love to do the costume thing, and this is a Halloween thing, so of course you're going to get it. It looks wild, looks fun, and the festival is actually pretty good. And You remember when the Allman Brothers were doing their festivals down in the Swanee? I don't remember. Wanee is what they called it. The Wanee Fest.
Sure.
And it was basically the same bands every year.
Yeah,
anybody
Warren
who was
Haynes, Warren Haynes does his Christmas one.
Warren every year. And right. It was on this same property. And I never made it to it. And it was only because of, they've been defunct now for, I mean, hell, Greg's been dead since 2017. So it's at the same property. It is one state away from us. As soon as you pass the Georgia Florida line, Live Oak is right there, and right. You're in Swanee. And sorry, I wanted to at least give a little bit of rundown of some of the headliners because I didn't look at it until the other day to get reminded.
Well,
String
I just
Cheese,
add, if you
Bobby
don't know,
Weir.
If you don't know, Brian Stone has like about four things that he just hates, and Halloween is one of them.
Oh, yeah, I hate
so
Halloween.
So for him to be talking this up...
Well, I'm only mainly talking it up because it's the only thing going this week, and it's a pretty good lineup. Right. Yes, I wouldn't go unless somebody picked me up on the way down 75, like, you know, one of my friends from up north. I have a few, but not many. I'm going to drive through 75, pick you up, and take you down to Halloween. All right, well, I'll jump in the car. You paying for the ticket, too? I am. Let's go.
Yeah.
Then
it's
I'd
so
be
funny
there.
Because, you know... You know, Brian dresses like it's Dazed and Confused every day.
Every single day of my life.
He wears his Halloween costume every day.
I've been
but
fading.
Hates Halloween costumes.
Fading in and out of fashion since 1997, Barry. But so the headliners, String Cheese, Bob Weir, Sublime, Chris Lake, Black Pumas. I'm now off the headliners. Umphrey's, Green Sky, and then the Killer Mike. And then Corey Wong, and then Lettuce, and then a bunch of, I'm assuming, a lot of electronic stuff I'm not familiar with. I know I see Of the Trees on the Higher Line. I know that's an electronic band. Nice little lineup.
Yeah.
Nice little lineup, especially for people who want to dress up in costumes and maybe do a little, and then you're going to have yourself a hell of a weekend and a really pretty, from what I've been told from all my brother's friends that used to go there, what they loved about it the most was that the landscape, the aesthetics of where they're at, it's beautiful. It's like this, I don't know. I wish I could explain it. I've never been there, but I've been explained to it. You're not in a swamp, but you're in, kind of feels like you're in that bayou-ish kind of right. stuff. It's a very cool wooded area. So right. Halloween people, and let us know in the comments next week. How did it go?
Well, that's what I love. I mean, and that's what I think we're figuring out and talking about this for so many years as we have, is it's not just about the lineup. It's not just about the 90-minute show. It's everything around it. That's what makes these things special. And same with Hangout, you know, Toes in the Sand. I get it, man.
I mean, if you're a big beach guy or gal and you love festivals.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, what amazing blending of the two. And people clearly loved it for a decade,
exactly.
You know, and so Halloween and this is a, you know, the fusion of that. And the problem is you can't monetize everything, and you can't necessarily, well, you, I guess you can, but it's difficult sometimes to monetize everything. And just because it works from a Instagram view, you know, an aerial view, doesn't mean anybody's making money on it.
No,
and
that's right.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
All right, what else? Anything else?
I think that pretty much covers,
I'm trying to think.
That's all I got.
It's all good stuff. Thanks, anybody that's still listening, appreciate it. Hit that like and subscribe and all that. And
yeah, so like we'll dive not only with forgive me, Todd Mayo.
Todd Mayo.
With all that we already discussed earlier, that we're going to definitely do and look forward to as much. We'll also hear from Taco in full, like, animated detail, like you've never seen him before. Tell us about his trip to K-Fest, because he was, I thought when I first saw it, because none of the three of us are bluegrass guys. I mean,
no.
We've said it more than he has. I can tell. He just doesn't want to say it loud. He doesn't really like it either.
He's noncommittal on all that.
I know. He doesn't want to offend anybody. And so I was thinking, man, he is going to get so tired of this bluegrass so fast. And he didn't. He stayed the whole weekend. Plus our friends Beth and Brad and the rest of them were there from our newly created Nut Butter. So he does live for stuff like that.
Absolutely.
So he was there the whole weekend. The whole weekend.
The weather was unbelievable. But it was. Yeah, he got to hang out with our friends. So I can't wait to hear from him.
Yeah, we'll get a recap of that.
All right, guys. Thanks. Let's do it again in a week.
We'll do it.
Bye.